Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he puts down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. May we pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we come to you this morning to remember Glenn Devaney, a dear, dear friend, a young man so respected and admired, a father, a husband, a son, a brother, a grandchild, so many relationships. We come with hurt, a profound sense of loss, a deep sense of emptiness, and an overwhelming bewilderment that just Tuesday, 3 weeks ago, you gifted Glenn and Liz with their second child, Ethan. We have so many questions, Lord. Why would you take such a young man? We pray, Lord, that through the comfort of Scripture, through the gospel of Jesus, through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us comfort. Not necessarily, Lord, to answer all our questions, but to give us that sense of childlike trust that sits in the lap of one's mother, in bewilderment and pain, lays our head on her breast, and simply sitting there finds comfort. Grant, O Lord, through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may rest our heads on your chest this day and find comfort, comfort that lasts, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm wearing my Boy Scout uniform today as a tribute to Glenn because I first got to know Glenn about 10 years ago through scouting out at Camp Attakapaw, Gina. Early on, I got to admire Glenn a great deal. Took a particular interest in Glenn a few years ago when a young lady struck his fancy, Miss Liz Robertson. Liz's dad was an elder in our church, and he went to be with the Lord back in 1996. From that point on, I felt a special obligation to Bill's wife, Carol, and to their last remaining unmarried daughter, Liz. So I took a particular interest in this whole situation. And it was my joy to join Glenn and Liz in marriage back in March of 2000. But our relationship deepened over the years after that time. Glenn was just an amazing young man, not only because of his work in Boy Scouts, serving as Lodge Chief, becoming an Eagle Scout, Vigil Honor with the Order of the Arrow, just this past January becoming the advisor to the Order of the Arrow, which is a special organization within Boy Scouts. But I just was amazed at all the things Glenn did. Our youngest son, Andrew, worked for Glenn this past summer at one of Glenn's three snow cone stands. Glenn had a lawn mowing business on the side that he did in partnership with some other people. He contracted for our church's lawn and even used him to mow my yard once in a while. Just an amazing guy. Lawn mowing business, snow cones, deputy city marshal, going to school, being a husband, being a father. and then giving of his time freely. I was struck. A neighbor shared this with me this week as my wife and I dropped in over at the Devaney house. So, you know that Glenn went in our neighborhood and found widows and offered to mow their yards for free? And I thought, well, that kind of sums up scouting to me. Sums up the order of the era, a brotherhood of cheerful service. But you know, it's an amazing thing when I think of Glenn's very short but very full life, that there was still an emptiness in Glenn. 6 weeks ago, this past Thursday, our city experienced a terrible, terrible tragedy. Glenn was part of that. He was there as a deputy city marshal in that dreadful afternoon shootout. That evening, he called me on my cell phone and told me he wanted to talk with me. And so, I guess about 9 o'clock that night, I drove over to where he was and got in his patrol car with him. We rode around for a while and we talked. He shared his dreams for the future. He so much respected Marshall Byrd. Then he told me that when Marshall Byrd retires, he said, I'd be interested in running for that position. Talked about his family, how much he loved his family. Glenn had no premonitions of an early death. He had plans for the future, finishing college, all after May when he would finish college. Loved his special love for his wife Liz, his optimism for Caroline and Ethan, who was still at that point in his mother's womb, began to share with me, and he brought it up. He said, you know, I want to be sure that I'm right with God. I want to know Christ. I want to surrender my will to Jesus without reservation. 6 weeks ago, 2 nights ago, late Thursday night, sitting in a city marshal patrol car just off Highway 1 trailer park, cold, drizzly, rainy night, Glenn wept. Glenn prayed out loud. He asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart to save him. Now, Glenn understood the gospel in a certain sense, had been a Christian all his life. But it was that special moment, 6 weeks, 2 days ago, when Glenn really surrendered, really gave his heart to Christ, and really and truly put his trust in the Lord Jesus, and really made real all of those things that are spoken about in baptism. He came to know Christ, and his life was changed. We began to meet together on Friday afternoons. In fact, yesterday my little vibrating pocket Palm Pilot went off. 1:30, Glenn Devaney, it said. That's when we were meeting. But of course we didn't meet. Because Glenn lost his faith on Wednesday afternoon. Because he doesn't need faith anymore. Because faith became sight. Glenn saw Christ. And there's no need for faith when you see the Lord Jesus. Faith comes to an end in the presence of Christ, and it becomes sight. That's my great comfort as I stand before you today. I'll miss Glenn. I loved Glenn, and I admired him so very much. But Glenn is in a wonderful place. He's in a place where all tears are wiped away. Whereas we've already heard read, sorrow and sighing have fled away. For there's no more death, no more sin, no more parting. Scripture tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Glenn is not here. We have encased in this lovely casket his mortal remains, which in a few moments we'll take to the cemetery and entrust to the ground. But as Father Brando reminded us, we do so with a confidence, not only that Glenn is not here, but there's coming a great getting up morning. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this earth, and this lovely casket will be split apart, and Glenn will burst out of the tomb alive, full of beauty, full of strength. We know that's true. And I'd like to just share for a moment from the scripture that I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, just these words, verse 26. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Human beings are given notoriously to pretension, to pretending that things are not as bad as they are. It's especially true with death. We like to make it be that people aren't really dead. They say things like, "Oh, he looks like he's asleep." And I've never seen a dead person that looked as if he was asleep. Death is a hideous enemy. We're told it's an enemy here. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death is a hideous monster. Death comes and surprises us in the middle of life, hugs us in its horrible, sorrowful, grievous embrace, and with its deadly kiss, it sucks the life out of us and snatches us away from all that is dear. Death is an enemy. It's an alien to our planet. It was not part of the plan that God laid out for our world. It crept in at the dawn of the history of humankind, and it crushes all our dreams and robs us of our brightest and our best. There's nothing beautiful about death. Nothing at all. Death is a monster that stalks us in our nightmares, and in a time like this reminds us that all of us will face it. A fearful thing. But the scripture that I've read, 1 Corinthians 15:26, doesn't end with that. It tells us that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And that's where we come down to what we want to say. Death has been conquered through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus lives, Glenn will live. Because Jesus died and rose again, we are not left in nihilistic abandonment here today. If it weren't for Jesus, the death of Glenn, our hope is no different than looking at a dead possum on the side of the road. That sounds crass and awful to say, but it's the truth. I'm telling you that you either have trust in Christ or you have no hope at all. You either know the Lord Jesus Christ as He's offered in the gospel, or you are hopeless. And all of your pretension and all of your imagination and all of your seeking to find security in this world is a vain hope. I commend to you the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Glenn embraced 6 weeks and 2 days ago. How glad I am to know that. It's so often when we come to say farewell to a friend that we're not absolutely sure that they really closed with Christ. But Glenn understood that in spite of all of his accomplishments, in spite of all the good deeds that he had done, they weren't enough. Glenn was not good enough to go to heaven. And that's the gospel. But the beautiful thing is that Christ was good enough. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless, perfect life. He perfectly kept the law on Glenn's behalf and on your behalf. And He died on the cross for Glenn's sins, for yours and for mine. That's the gospel of Christ. Glenn was a wonderful young man. I don't know any young man of all the people I've known, and I've known a lot, and I've known a lot of people very intimately. I don't know any young man better than Glenn Devaney. But I'm telling you that without the gospel of Jesus Christ, Glenn would be in hell. Because Glenn, like me and like you, was not good enough to go to heaven. God demands of us absolute perfection. And none of us can ever fulfill and attain that standard. But Jesus fulfilled it for Glenn. Because Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, because He died on the cross, Glenn is in heaven. And I know that I'm going to see Glenn again. And because the Lord Jesus not only died and was buried, but He rose again the third day, I know that death has been conquered. And I'm not afraid to die. And Glenn wasn't afraid to die. Because the moment that death came and kissed him on Highway 1 Wednesday afternoon, at that same moment of time as he died out there, at that same moment of time, he was embraced by the Lord Jesus Christ, taken to the bosom of the Lord, held close to him. And Glenn is in a place where he's happy now, where there's no more mourning, no more crying, no more death, no more separation. That's my confidence, and that was Glenn's confidence, and I commend that confidence to you. The death of Glenn Devaney reminds each of us that life is unpredictable. That no matter how hard we try to keep ourselves physically fit and to drive safely and wear seatbelts and do all these other things, that death can sniff us out and find us out at the most unlikely moment. Even when we think that the whole of our life still stretches before us. I want to press on you the claims of Christ as Glenn received those claims for himself. Won't you today, if you've never made your peace with God, won't you today give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Won't you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to forgive your sins? Won't you put your trust in Him? He died for you that you might have hope. That you might not live in this world a meaningless life, no more meaningful than this possum that got run over. Surely life is more than for a human being created in the image of God than an idle possum getting hit by a car. Do you want your life to mean more than that? Oh, don't you? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him now. I'm not going to ask you to walk an aisle or do anything except in the quietness of the sanctuary of your own heart. I want you now with our heads bowed. I'm not going to trick you. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. But would you bow your head and pray with me? Perhaps you would pray a prayer something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I've come short of being what I'm supposed to be. I've done things that I'm ashamed of. Done things that some people don't know anything about. That some things, Lord, I've done, nobody knows about. I'm so ashamed. I've lied. I've done many other things. Would you forgive my sins, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus? Would you come into my heart? Would you change me? Would you give me a new heart? Would you give me your Holy Spirit? Lord, my faith is so weak, I'm not even sure I believe in anything. Would you give me the gift of faith? I want to give you my life. Whether I live one more day, one more year, or 50 more years, I want my life to count. Lord, as I think of the life of Glenn Devaney, I want my life to count for other people the way his life counted for other people. And I want my life to count for you. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Take me, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.